Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current political, economic, social, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. In view of Mother's Day, we need to talk about the left's attack on motherhood, mothers, and children. Just to encourage mothers that they're on the right path, that they've chosen the good way, and that their critics and detractors are the evil ones in this world. A few months ago, Emma Tettel with the Toronto Star put forth an editorial entitled, "It is time to do away with Mother's Day," that we need to scrap both Mother's Day and Father's Day for good, replacing them with Guardian Day, because those holidays presume a parent is either a mother or father. And then there are other articles suggesting that we do away with Mother's Day because it creates pressure, guilt, expectations on women who may not be mothers or who may have had an abortion, which is always what the ungodly do. They destroy God's good purposes, then ban anyone who tries to celebrate God's good purposes so as to avoid their own guilt and conviction. But all this is nothing new. With the rise of secularism in the 20th century, for the last 100 years, there has been a war against motherhood and against God's established role for women. The Communist Manifesto, written in 1848, chapter 2 is about the abolition of the family. Quote, "The bourgeois family will vanish as a matter of course when its complement vanishes, private property. And both will vanish with the vanquishing of capital." It further reads, "Do you charge us with wanting to stop the exploitation of children by their parents? To this crime we plead guilty. But you say we destroy the most hallowed of all relations when we replace home education by social." The bourgeois clay trap about the family and education, about the hallowed correlation of parents and child, becomes all the more disgusting. And then the manifesto goes on to claim that the traditional family sees the wife as a mere instrument of production, and that all the family is legal prostitution. The philosophy behind the Communist Manifesto was that the communists wanted to liberate people from oppression. The oppression of private ownership, of labor, and of the duties and the responsibilities of a mother and a father. And in this, we see the theme, still used by the left today, to destroy God's institutions. With this claim that you're oppressed, you're being exploited, and so the naive young man or the naive young woman listen to this, and they think, hey, maybe I am being hurt by these traditional Christian moral values and injunctions, by God's institutions. I have to serve my husband. I have to love my wife and lay my life down for her. I have to suffer hardships to raise children. Oh, that's just so unfair. Well, does that all sound familiar? Well, it's the same tactic used to tempt Adam and Eve in the garden, back in Genesis chapter 3. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Satan was saying, in effect, God is oppressing and exploiting you by these rules and boundaries. And the Communist Manifesto and feminist literature today is nothing more than a sophisticated, longer version of Satan's argument in Genesis chapter 3. Nothing has changed in the core argument against God. The argument being that you're being oppressed, you're being exploited, and that we need to throw off God's boundaries regarding family, gender, marriage, childbearing. And this is the new definition of liberty and freedom. Not liberty in Christ, but freedom from God, his laws, his institutions. And this is feminism. As in the often quoted feminist slogan, a woman needs a husband like a fish needs a bicycle. Or as Beth Wiesel, the Democratic representative of Iowa, said recently, women ought to have abortions to avoid sleepless nights and disciplinary challenges. So, Christians need to be wise here in regard to what's going on. 2 Corinthians 2:11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Whenever you have to argue against this whole issue of feminism or gender nonconformity, remember it all goes back to the argument of Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 5, that God's ways are depicted as oppressive. And this is one of the root lies of secularism. Jesus said the axe needs to be laid at the root. And if you expose and reveal the root error, rather than just arguing about the peripherals, the left is going to run for cover, and you may make a few converts. So let's look at some Bible here. A very significant text is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which is considered one of those problematic texts with multiple interpretations. But as I have often said, the texts that are the most difficult will sometimes yield the greatest truths. And the reason we have trouble interpreting difficult texts is that we're spiritually dull. 1 Timothy 2:15. But the woman will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. Now, the difficulty in this text is understanding what is meant that the woman will be saved in the bearing of children. The New American Standard Bible translates the word saved, preserved. That the woman will be preserved through the bearing of children. As if this is a promise of special healing or protection for Christian women when they bear children. But the Greek word here is sozo, the typical word in the New Testament for salvation, redemption, conversion. So is this verse saying that heaven will be granted to women who have children? No, Paul is referring back to the promise given to the woman back in Genesis, that her offspring, the Messiah, will someday crush Satan's head and hence deliver the human race from Satan, the usurper. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The Messiah would crush or kill Satan. And this is the context in which Paul is giving this verse in 1 Timothy 2:15. Back in verses 12 through 13, Paul writes about the creation of Adam and Eve, and about Eve being deceived by the serpent. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. But women will be preserved through the bearing of children. The point is that even though the woman was deceived by Satan, her consolation is that through childbearing, she would give birth to her Savior. In that sense, she is saved through the gift of procreation. So Paul's not speaking about one individual woman, but women as a whole. But nevertheless, the text applies to all women, for all women are given the gift of childbearing. And that is their great blessing from God. That is their great consolation, even in the curse. The word saved also carries the idea of being rescued or helped. And all women are rescued and helped by childbearing. Childbearing and motherhood is a gift from God to women to give them purpose and meaning to life. And of course, Satan wants to steal and destroy this gift given to women. Not only in trying to destroy the direct offspring of the woman who would be the Savior, think of how Satan stirred up Herod to kill all the babies in Bethlehem, hoping to destroy the Messiah. But Satan also wants to kill all the offspring of the women. As C.S. Lewis wrote, Satan hates these little vermin, people made in the image of God. Every time he looks at a human, it reminds him of God, his enemy. And if he can't destroy God, he will destroy those made in the image of God. And so Satan wants to destroy and fight against childbearing and motherhood. In Revelation chapter 12, we get another picture of Satan's attack on women in the family. That text is an allegory describing Satan's battle against God throughout the ages. Chapter 12, verse 4, Satan takes a third of the angels with him in his rebellion against God. Verse 5, he seeks to destroy the woman who gives birth to a male child who is to rule the nations. That's Jesus Christ. Satan is then thrown out of heaven, verse 9, and what does he do? He goes off to make war with the rest of her offspring. The rest of the offspring is speaking of the rest of the children born to the women, specifically the Christians. Jesus was born to the woman. And also all of those who are to be God's people are born of women. And Satan hates these little vermin, these children made in the image of God. They might actually go on to receive the second birth and live for the glory of God for all eternity. And so Satan is intent on destroying the family and motherhood, Christian education, and evangelism. And he destroys God's plan for the family through ideologies, false ideologies, through divorce, through prostitution, through pornography, through birth control, through population control alarmism. He throws the entire kitchen sink against God and God's program. And so wouldn't you know it, the left turns out to be the culture of death. Liberals, progressives, are the party of infanticide. No longer are abortions simply to be safe, legal, and rare, but abortion for any reason. In Russia, the grand experiment in Marxist ideology, Russia is declining in its population by 600,000 per year because secular ideology doesn't believe in the family. Children are an inconvenience. Children are not a blessing of the Lord. Children are not a gift to women. And it's the same way in Europe, a declining population. If you were to look at a chart of childbearing in the United States over the last 200 years, you'll see that as our culture has become less Christian, couples have had less children. It's called the fertility rate. In 2015, the fertility rate in the United States was 1.84 children per woman. In 1961, it was 3.62 children per woman. And in 1860, it was 7.58 children per woman. That's a drastic change. 100 years ago, large families were honored. Children were a blessing of the Lord. They were not a curse. And from a recent study called Religion and Fertility in America, women who said religion is very important in their lives had three times as many children as women who said religion is not very important. Here's another interesting statistic. The decline in religion in America is seen in the decline in children being given biblical names. And actually, the two charts are identical. The decline in the use of biblical names and the decline in fertility rates. Now, the excuse used by the left and the communists is that the reason for large families in the past was merely economics. Children were for the purpose of more workers on the farm. As in the Communist Manifesto, children and women were simply for economic exploitation. But that's a spin ungodly people put on a culture that believes what God has to say about the blessing of motherhood and children. Psalm 127, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. So undeniably, Christianity promotes childbirth. Secularism diminishes childbirth and motherhood. And feminism has been very successful in indoctrinating the culture against motherhood and childbirth. Satan has been so successful, he's even convinced women to abandon motherhood and take the role of men, and even worse, has convinced mothers to kill their children, convincing women that having children will be a curse, not a blessing. FYI, for your information, feminism has been described as coming in three waves. You'll hear this description often. This is not something that conservatives have come up with, but something that feminists themselves have come up with to describe the changing goals and the policies of feminism. The first wave was from 1910 to 1950, women's suffrage, giving women the right to vote. Second wave from 1960 to 1980, the promotion of abortion, the exodus from the family, from motherhood into the workplace. The third wave from 1990 to the present, the gradual erasing of all distinctions between men and women, the erasing of any distinction between the husband and the wife, in the family, in the family roles, erasing the distinction in the thinking or the desires of men and women, actually culminating in the elimination of male and female pronouns. A great example of this was last year, the firing of one of the engineers over at Google, James Damore. He was fired for suggesting that the reason there are more men in engineering is because of scientifically proven biological differences between men and women, their interests, their goals. And Damore's contradiction of the liberal narrative was so offensive to the world that he was fired for even suggesting any differences between men and women, for even suggesting the obvious. And the statements made against him in the media and by the management of Google showed exactly the ideology the left is trying to promote. A belief that gender is a human construct that needs to be dismantled, that the family unit needs to be dismantled, that the differences between men and women need to be dismantled, that Damore was guilty of perpetuating gender stereotypes. In other words, the historic Christian natural view of male and female. And so what we have today is an assault by the left against all of God's categorical structures, God's distinctions. Ezekiel 22:26, her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane. So on the left, homosexuality is as valid as heterosexuality. A one-parent family or a same-sex partnership is as valid as a man and a woman. Satan and the ungodly want to destroy God's distinctions in every institution, including the family. And please understand that homosexuality, transgenderism, gender nonconformity is built on the same ideology as feminism. They're all tied at the hip. They're all intersectional. Because it's all about overthrowing God's distinctions and claiming that God's distinctions are oppressive. You will often hear among even conservatives that the first wave of feminism and the second wave of feminism were just fine, but it's the third wave of feminism that's going too far. But really, the first wave of feminism was just as much an attack on God's role for men and women and the family. It was not a Christian movement. And throughout the 20th century, feminism has promoted a gradual liberation from God's law, as much as the population would stand for in any decade. But now we're seeing the results of the abandonment of God. Secularists will not even admit that there are genders or gender roles or even biological distinctions to which a society must conform. But the point I want us to see in all this is that feminism is the real war against women. Now, the phrase war against women was used by the left to criticize the conservative right. But this was like projection, because the real war against women was coming from the left. They are the ones out robbing women of their God-given blessings by telling women they need to abandon motherhood and go work on the factory floors. telling women that the things that men do in business are more important than the bearing and the caring for children, when the truth is that motherhood is the highest calling for women. They got women to sell their birthright for a bowl of porridge, just like Esau. The left was telling women that staying at home and having children is wrong. And they put upon mothers jealousy and guilt, making them dissatisfied with their God-given calling. My own daughter-in-law, who stays at home to raise her children, gets comments at the park like, "You must be the nanny." Because obviously, successful women are not supposed to be staying at home with children. And it flows both out of an erroneous ideology, but also, it looks like extreme jealousy. Because here these other women are working 40 hours a week, commuting 3 hours a day, and they only get to see their children a couple hours a day. And here these Christian women have the best life. But these working women are being dutiful liberal feminists. Exactly what the Communist Manifesto planned for women, to put them in the factories. So the bottom line is this. In claiming to free women from oppression and exploitation, what has feminism done? It has put women into oppression and bondage. And that's exactly what the Apostle Peter wrote about false teachers, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. False ideology always promises freedom. That's the bait. That's the hook. But in the end, it always enslaves. A great verse that I've been studying recently in this regard is Isaiah 32:6. Listen to the wisdom of this prophecy. "For a fool speaks nonsense, and his heart is inclined toward wickedness, to practice ungodliness and to speak error against the Lord." But notice what the verse goes on to say. "To keep the hungry person unsatisfied, and to withhold drink from the thirsty." The ungodly left rob people of their purpose and their meaning, claiming that no one made you. You're only an accident of evolution. No one loves you. There's no right and wrong. And so they take away from people everything of value, everything that gives life meaning, and thinking that they're saving us, they leave us cursed, unsatisfied, thirsty. They rob us of the good life that God has for us. As Jesus said, the thief, Satan, comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. "I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." And my prayer is that you come to Jesus and embrace his good plan that he has for your life. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can email me with questions, comments, and insights. I always appreciate the input. That's godandcountryradio.org. And for an extended version of this program, check out my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. I believe this will be program number 26. Working on building up that new tool of outreach, so I'd greatly appreciate your patronage. Just go to the YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Check out the videos and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. And again, thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, your plan is perfect, and your ways for us are good and right. May we honor and glorify you by siding with you against the world and against Satan, and grant us strength for the conflict. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.